If we look around in the world we are living in today, we find that we live in a world where physical beauty is more important than the true character of a person. One applies for a job, and after applying, you are asked to send sometimes your resume, your CV, then you send it, and you edit this CV several times to make sure that it suits the kind of job you are applying for, because you don't want to miss the opportunity. You are called to attend the interview, and you go for the interview because they want to see the person behind the documents that have been sent ahead of time. So preparations for the interviews range from what you are going to wear, how you are going to work, to walk, how you are going to speak, how you are going to sit, all those things. You prepare yourself. If it's a lady going for an interview, you need some extension on your eyelashes, extension on your fingernails. If it's a man, it's very simple. You just simply need a haircut, then you go. If you need to trim your hair at all. So, but what I'm simply saying is, we prepare so much on the physical side. But now, the real test comes in when one gets the job. The employer would soon discover that you are not punctual. And the employer would soon discover that you are not faithful. And he would soon find out that you have a bad temper. And he would soon discover that you are incompetent for the job. This happens because the employer has been looking at the physical appearance of the person and not on the heart of the person. Let's turn our Bibles, let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel 16. I would like to read from verse 1 to verse 18. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him in trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on his height or his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, But behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. What we find here in this passage I have read, just to give a little bit of a brief context as to what is taking place, we see what is happening here, that Saul was the first king of Israel. When the Israelites demanded that we want a king, we want to be like other nations that are around us. They have kings, but we don't have one. We want one, and they got one. So we see him as the first king, but we also see David coming in here, and the role of David in these books 1 and 2 Samuel is actually to lead people to take full possession of the land which God had given to them where they are settling in Canaan. So this is what we find. Therefore, 1 Samuel here is marking a transition in the books of Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel. In brief, we find that the Lord rejected Saul, as we see here in the chapter. That God had rejected Saul in chapter 15. And Samuel the prophet is actually grieved by this. Remember, Saul has been sent in the previous chapter 15 to go and destroy Amalek and everything that is in it. But Saul did not obey. What he did was to save some of the best things for himself, and he thinks he was doing the Lord a favor. And when he came back, he's rejoicing, and he said to Samuel, I have obeyed the commandment. I have done what you sent me to do. But when you read chapter 15, verse 16, Samuel tells him to stop. He said to him, stop. I will tell you what the Lord said to me. And he said to him, speak. And Samuel spoke what the Lord said to him, to say, I anointed you as king over Israel, but what you have done is not good. I am going to reject you. So he's told those words by Samuel. And he comes here with Agag, and who takes on now the role to destroy or to kill Agag, whom Saul was supposed to kill, the prophet of God. Samuel, verse 32. Then Samuel said, bring here to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came to him cheerfully. He's called by a prophet. He doesn't know what is waiting for him. Agag said, surely bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag to pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. So the man of God had to finish the job himself. The prophet of the Lord had to kill this man whom Saul was supposed to kill. Saul did not obey the Lord. And we see that Samuel kept on grieving. He was sent. And what is happening here, the one who has been sent to execute this job seems not to be bothered very much. But the man of God is grieved at the intensity of this disobedience. And then in the midst of that, that's where we find that God tells Samuel, and he asks him a question to say, how long are you going to grieve over Saul since I have rejected him? That's what we see first. So first, what I want to raise here is that God instructs Samuel to go to Bethlehem. And then secondly, we find that God instructs Samuel to anoint David as king. So in the first point, we do find that God asked this man a question to say, how long are you going to stay in this situation, in that mood? God wants Saul to get out of this mode of grief. The cause of the grief is that God has rejected Saul as king. Now the one who has been rejected does not seem to be so much grieved as the man of God himself, as I have said. Remember, Saul has been chosen through worldly standards. That's the way he has been chosen. If you go back to chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, they looked at his stature. He was a tall man, tall above the shoulder and handsome and nicely built. They looked at him and said, here is the king we want. And they got him to be their king in chapter 9. But Samuel is afraid now. He's told to go down to Bethlehem and do something because God wants to choose a king. But now, the prophet of God is afraid of taking a journey to Bethlehem and do that. And do what the Lord has instructed him, that is to anoint another king. He is afraid of Saul. He is afraid of Saul. He is afraid that Saul, if Saul gets to know that he's going to anoint somebody to become king, Saul is going to kill this prophet. In verse 2, Samuel said it openly. He said, he is going to kill me. If he notices that this is what I am going to do, for sure, Saul is going to kill me. A prophet, a man of faith, is responding to God's instruction with fear. This shows his humanness, that he is human, and that he needs to depend upon the Lord, though he was the prophet of God, of the Lord over Israel. He needs to depend on the Lord. Oftentimes, when we think of a prophet, we have in our minds somebody who knows everything, somebody who is not afraid, somebody who is courageous. But we see in the Bible prophets getting confused as well, even if they were getting visions, revelations from the Lord. Remember Habakkuk. He's having this dialogue with the Lord. In prayer, he's asking the Lord. He's confused. He says, God, how is it that you are going to bring the Babylonians to punish us? That evil nation, how can you do that? He's confused. But the Lord comes up with an answer for him. So being a prophet doesn't mean to say that one is not afraid. Or being a pastor doesn't mean to say that one is not afraid. But in our fear, what do we need to do? To depend upon the Lord, to depend on his way. Inasmuch as the prophet of the Lord depended on God himself. So, he is afraid. But now, the Lord provided a way around this situation. Because he knows the man he's sending is afraid. The Lord instructed Samuel to take a heifer with him to Bethlehem and a horn filled with oil. Maybe he so happens to see the heifer, he would think that the prophet is simply doing his routine sacrifices, or he's doing his pastoral visits to a certain place when he sees him with a heifer going on. But certainly one thing must be hidden. The horn of oil. It had to be hidden. So this was devised in a way so that Saul does not become aware of what was going to take place. Now upon arrival, he was instructed to invite Jesse and all his sons to the sacrifice. But his arrival in Bethlehem is also coming with something. The elders, when they saw him, they were afraid. They were not expecting to see a man of God at such a time. Maybe his itinerary to go there, it was not time yet, but they see him coming. So they are afraid, they are shaken to say, what do you want here? What are you looking for here? That's why they ask in verse 4. Are you coming here in peace? And then he responded, yes, in peace. So you see what is happening. The man of God was afraid to go to Bethlehem. And the people in Bethlehem are afraid of the man of God. Right? So he is coming in peace there. And when he arrives, he tells them all to consecrate themselves and prepare for the sacrifice. So the whole idea of the sacrifice is meant to avoid trouble with the rejected king Saul. A man chosen through physical appearance and later proved that he was incompetent for the job. A man who lived, who loved the position and not the service. A man who had a precious opportunity in his hands, but he used it for self-gratification. A man who was anointed by the prophet, but now wants to kill even the prophet of God. Our physical appearances in most times disguise the ugly scarecrows hidden in our hearts. This was true of Saul, and it could be true of us as well today, and me standing here. Our physical appearances hide our slippery characters. Some women became wives because they managed well the externals. But when it comes to motherhood, they are found wanting. Some men became husbands because they managed well the externals. But when it comes to fatherhood, they are found to be monsters. This is what we find. In the choice they had made for themselves, the choice of a king in the character of Saul. So what we see coming up next in verses 6 to 13 is that the Lord instructs Samuel to anoint David as king. Now, just as sons were all paraded, as you see in verse 6, when Samuel saw Eliab, he thought he was the man he should anoint. The appearance and the structure of Eliab might have resembled that of Saul. And it could be that in the mind of Samuel, he still has that kind of thinking to say, this looks like the man we anointed before. Exactly the appearance, the stature and everything. Such that Samuel thought that this must be the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said, I have rejected him. Just like us, as well, Samuel was too quick to be impressed with external things. Just like what we do in most cases, or what people do in most cases, when a celebrity comes and walks on the stage, what do? People shout. People ululate, people clap hands, do all sorts of things. Because they are seeing this person on the stage. Everything, any kind of behavior that person is portraying is stage managed. So that it fits within that time frame. But when the person goes behind the stage, do we know his life? Do we know her life? It could be that the life there is hell. He's not enjoying life as he should, or is living life in another manner that contradicts what the person is on the stage. Even in the church and business, success is defined in materialistic terms, physical things. Even in our choice of church leaders in the church, charisma is preferred over character. We want this person because he has the charisma. We don't know what is happening now in the space. What they preferred, is it the charisma, is it the character? In verse 7, Verse 7 clearly spells out what God desires, what God is looking for in a man that should take the lead for his people. I'll read verse 7 where it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." This is the pivot of this narrative, of this story we are looking at. The Lord rebuked Samuel. It's like God is saying, do not repeat the Saul story. Don't repeat the Saul story, what happened with Saul. I am concerned with the heart, not the physical appearance. Because out of the heart issues the real human character. It comes from the heart. If anybody, what he does, what she does not come from the heart, then everything is stage managed to suit the moment, to suit that time frame. After that, everything else is history and is forgotten. Because the heart is the essence there of humanity. It's easy to have a form of a student but fail to live like a student. It's easy also to be a lecturer but fail to live like one. So all the available sons of Jesse were presented before Samuel, and the horn of oil remained shut. It remained closed. Because after all has passed, Samuel says, none of them qualifies. The character is not there. What the Lord is looking for is not there. Then the man of God, the prophet, asked the father, have you paraded all your sons here? You see what is happening here? It looks like Jesse also had a problem. He was told to parade all his sons, and he leaves one out simply because of age, or maybe simply because he is busy out there, and he concentrates on the elder ones. He did not obey as well. But then Jesse said, there is still a young boy in the pasture. And for the father, it seems like this young boy was not very significant. Yet, he is the boy with the heart that God is looking for. That very boy, who is shut behind the scenes there. That's the boy that God is looking for. And the boy comes. And when he comes, he's smelling sweat. And when he comes, his feet are dirty. And when he comes, he's smelling sheep, because he's working with the sheep out there. So from sweating and swatting flies in the fields, his head all of a sudden now drips with anointing oil. So God instructs Samuel, when the boy comes, to say, arise and anoint him king over Israel, right in front of his brothers, the brothers who had failed the test. It reminds us of Joseph, doesn't it? So, God is not against beauty as well. We must get it well here. The boy, we are told, was ruddy, beautiful eyes, and handsome. It was not just the outside beauty, but also the inside beauty is there that the Lord is looking for. It's a combination. But oftentimes we concentrate on one side. So from the most unlikely place, that is the pasture land, God found a king over Israel And after this, we are told that Samuel went back home. He went to Ramah, verse 13. And after the anointing, we are told the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And while this is happening, when you read further, we find that an evil spirit fell on Saul. Now, here's what is happening. The king is anointed. This little boy. The man of God goes back to Ramah. And the little boy doesn't go around looking for a high chair to sit on. He doesn't go around looking for good clothes to put on because he's now king. And he doesn't go around boasting to people. He doesn't do that. What does he do? The boy, the anointed boy, goes back to the fields where he came from. Because more training is needed. Why? Goliath is coming. Chapter 17, when you read. More training is needed. Because a crazy, rejected king is also coming. After his own life, the life of this little boy. So, and many more challenges were going to come. So David still needed much more training. He goes back to the training field. So David's story, we find that it finds its fulfillment in Christ, who is called the Son of God, called the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10 verse 11. The Anointed One, the true Son of Jesse, whom we see coming up in the New Testament. And in conclusion, if we desire to be used or being useful to God, we must devote ourselves to character development. If God is going to use us, character must be developed every day till we go to the grave. Everything in life hinges and falls on character. David went back to the field for character and skill development so that he could be more competent for the task that was ahead of him. 3 years at MTC or 4 years at MTC as a student. MTC is a training ground. But what is more important is character for all of us. If you struggle with cheating and taking shortcuts in life, God has a sense of humor. He will give you congregants who cheat and congregants who take shortcuts so that you can confront your own character squarely. When you see it coming out in others, then you are able to say, this is exactly what I am. So whatever we are doing, it will come around one day. So if character is not part of you, if character is not part of me, I must be found incompetent. And such people say, God says, I have rejected them because character is not there. Because God is concerned with the heart more than managed external appearances. May the Lord bless us with His word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for the opportunity you have given to us to look into your word. We thank you for the lives of this man, Saul, Samuel, David, and all the things we are able to learn. Help us, Lord, in character development every day, which we know is a process. As Christians, that you are constantly working in our lives, Lord, to transform us, to change us, so that we become more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for your Spirit, whom you have given to us, who resides in us, who continues to teach and guide us all the times. In your name we pray. Amen.